Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Voices of the Earth. I'm your host, Carol Omart-Behan. Welcome you in as a live listeners, and I am sure I can feel your beautiful presences out there. Joining me tonight to welcome two amazing individuals to this program, and I'll welcome them shortly, but their names, I think they are known to about everybody who may well be listening live, and many of you listening on podcasts later, Dr. Jim Conroy and Basha Alexander, and I have been anticipating their visit here to Voices of the Earth for some time, so it feels a splendid celebration that this is true on the 15th of April, 2015, speaking to you from my home studio, Light Spring Glen, a beautiful place, and I have just issued the invitation to Basha and Jim to come sometime and commune with these beautiful beings of this land. They travel to so many places, getting connected to the beautiful elementals and the trees and all of that, and I know you're going to hear about so much of this. We will cut to the chase very shortly, but I want to go over just a little bit of housekeeping before I welcome them to the program. Voices of the Earth has been nearly a year on Blog Talk Radio, actually specifically the Art of Living Well Radio Network, and it has been a fabulous set of guests, programs all around the theme of work and love that we have, work for and love of our beautiful Earth home, much of which has needed a lot of loving attention from us two-leggeds in order to repair some of what has been a harmful interaction with the earth, but the beautiful thing has been is that more and more and more people are aware that they need to step up, bring their loving attention to and their energy to creating, rebalancing, reweaving the living web of Mother Earth. And so here it is. I would love to say, especially again, a warm welcome to any first-time listeners. If you're listening live, we so look forward to welcoming you as a caller to us, maybe halfway through this hour, maybe a little bit before. I will give you the cue, and there is a call-in number so that you can call, ask a question of these two wonderful people, have a comment to things that they've already shared. I'll just run that number by you once, remind it up to you again. It is at the top of the page of the show link if you're listening live. But here it is, just for the record. It is 1-805-292-0349. And just one more plug, and then the official welcome for our guest. I often say our because I have a studio cat, and I often think he's teaming up with me. He's holding the fort here with me, right below my desk. So hopefully he won't want to get a word in edgewise while we have the show. Voices of the Earth, wonderful guests, almost a year's worth. When I come back on the air, I'm going to be off for 2 weeks, but when I come back in May, I'm going to be celebrating the first anniversary. All of these wonderful shows of so many different guests, and I won't even try to go over all of them, you can look them up on goldenspiraljourney.com. You'll get to the home page, you'll see a link to the archives, and every week I put up the present folks coming aboard to talk with me on Voices of the Earth, and so you would find Jim and Basha there as well. So I want, actually, it's so much that we have to talk about. I'm going to just give the tiniest of intros as I unmute their mics. I'm going to have them just hold their thunder for a moment and just tell all of you that everything you need to know of credentialing and of their website, cooperativebiobalance.org, is there for you to go and have a look. So what I can tell you is Dr. Jim Conroy, who I imagine is hearing me pretty clearly, and he's going to be speaking in just a second, is the tree whisperer, and Basha Alexander is the chief listener. So I'm just going to kind of throw that out to all of you listening. Many of you already know this, and welcome Jim and Basha to Voices of the Earth.
Oh, thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol. That's great. What a great introduction. We thank you very much.
Oh, we've been looking forward to talking with you so much.
Oh, my goodness. This is really a love fest. Now, I wanted to add one more thing, and this would be for people who are somewhat less familiar. But in one of your books, which I have here, and it's an autographed copy, and I treasure that, but I will just say this to the audience about this book, because we'll talk about so much. There's such a wealth of so many wonderful things that we'll be sharing back and forth. But your book, which is Tree Whispering, has this subtitle. Whether or not this is where we're going to jump in, but here's the subtitle, listeners. Tree Whispering subtitle, A Nature Lover's Guide to Touching, Healing, and Communicating with Trees, Plants, and All of Nature. And to me, that just ties a beautiful big bow around so much of what you two have been up to, so, and are, and will continue to be. So,
thanks.
Yes, Earth Advocate.
We decided to give that book a rather long subtitle because it captures really everything. Touching trees is very underrated. People should go out and hug trees because not only do they get a lot of energy, but it helps to solidify the bond with trees. Dr. Jim?
Yeah, well, you know, trees and plants and all the beings of nature, they really want to communicate with people. They really want to work with us, you know. And all we have to do is kind of open up our listening a little bit, open up our intuitive listening a little bit, and start to collaborate with them. They really, you know, the trees, the plants, even the bugs, you know, and the things and the invasives, so-called quote-unquote invasives, bugs and plants, they all want to communicate it with us. They want to work with us, okay? They really don't want to harm us in any way. So to me, it's just a matter of working with them and getting in touch with them and being in touch with that energy and actually collaborating with them. And that's what I find, to me, you know, I put my hands on a tree, and it's like an adventure of a lifetime. When I feel the vascular tissue, what I do is, the minute I put my hands on a tree, what I feel is right underneath the bark is all the vascular tissue of a tree, the movement up and down. And I feel that, you know, that's right away. That's the thing I feel. And especially right now, you know, the trees are just sending up sap for spring, you know, and especially the maples. Maple's been for a while, but now the oaks and the ash trees, they're coming along really good now, sending their sap up. So it's really exciting. And then the trees start telling me, well, this is what's going on. That's what's going on, of course, you know. We had a tough winter. Our buds got hurt. Can you help us heal our buds a little bit? Can you connect our vascular tissues, our up and down, you know, vascular tissues,
fluids
to the buds? Can you help us out there so our buds can really get growing and we can put on some nice new leaves and make good food and then turn that food into making new growth and be nice and healthy and strong?
Yeah, one of the things that people may not be aware of is that trees and plants and the living beings of nature, they get sick, they can be stressed, they can get sick, and that they can be healed. And the basis of tree whispering, first of all, is having a really incredible experience of the life force. It's like nothing is between you and source energy when you have an experience with a tree or a plant. And then if people feel called, they can go further and they can learn some of the skills to actually heal the internal functionality of trees and plants. And there's a lot of that in that book that you mentioned, Carol.
Oh, yes.
And this is something that, you know, pretty much if people just are willing to apply themselves just a little bit, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of, you don't have to be a scholar in order to do this work, you know, people just have to be able to apply themselves a little bit and get a little intuitive, you know, become a little bit intuitive, get that right brain intuitive tuned up a little bit, and you know, and then it's very easy to do.
Yeah.
And then it becomes we actually use a yes no answer process, and that's what helps us out in clarifying what the tree is telling us or what it needs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will, of course, I have had the delight of being in one of your workshops, and I know as I, and I was so looking forward to that, and I've been a tree communicator of my own sort, but boy, I learned so much more in the liveliness of the conversation. But I do know, and I know you'll likely be able to share some experiences of so much of what you've done since I last had some opportunity to work with you, but that people are looking for, I really know this, and I know you know this, having worked of so many years now doing this in so many different venues, people are trying to seek a way to be helpful to what they're seeing in the greater problems that are presented. What can we do? How can we be involved? So I know your work helps people to know. Now, and I the other thing I wanted to kind of add in quick was, is that, and Jim, you made this clear as you began speaking, is that they are seeking communication with us. There's an enrichment back and forth that will benefit the two-legged us and all of those other ones that are seeking that communication. So
absolutely.
That was my
whole input. They want to collaborate with us. And in fact, the truth be known, you know, the trees actually heal us too. We're healing them and they're actually healing us at the same time. So there is a two-way street there. Okay. And that's what's really cool about it. And and they'll work with us because, you know, if we're willing to collaborate with them and work with them, they're saying, well, we got to take care of the trees are saying, we got to take care of this person that's trying to communicate with us. So they want to heal us as well.
It definitely goes both ways. You bring up a really important point. We've been at this for, what, about 13 years now,
years,
I think?
Yep.
And the original work started with a focus on trees and plants. And what you're starting to talk about, Carol, is the fact that there's not only are there sick trees and plants, but we're really more and more aware of the interference and the degradation in whole ecosystems. And Dr. Jim's work the last 5 or 6 years now has been developing ways to collaborate with all the living beings of nature. And we've developed a little more advanced systems for healing, you know, all the way through ecosystems. And tell the story about it.
How about a story? I'm thinking a story of all, and I know the two of you, but I know Jim in particular is he's brought to places to help heal things. So is there a story that's coming to mind that can put this into
a beautiful...
Well, there's
a few of them. One is I used to treat the trees, and then a little bit further on down the treatment, I'd start to work with the ecosystem and get that all connected back up. And I got shook one night in the middle of the night and say, okay, why are you waking me up for? I said, well, you're doing it the wrong way around. And I said, what do you mean? They said, all right. So they said, do the ecosystem first, then you treat the tree. Well, you know what? It made perfect sense because that way, I treat the ecosystem, get it back operating again, then the whole ecosystem can support the tree or trees, and then as we get the trees back healthy again, they can support the whole ecosystem, and both of them, the trees and the ecosystem, are able to collaborate with each other.
Yeah.
And that's what we've found,
it's,
you know?
It's really a kind of a top-down kind of thinking or big-picture thinking. You know, when you think about it, the tree is in its ecosystem. So you may as well help the interconnectivity of all living beings. And then within that circle, the tree itself can become healthier. So it's the perfect kind of thinking.
Yeah, and one of the things we've developed is what we call eco peace treaties, and that's between.
Oh yes.
Yeah, that's between like the tree and let's say a disease. For example, beech trees, they have a nice smooth bark and they get to be nice and big and old. And what happens is their circulation begins to slow down a little bit and things begin to get clogged up a little bit, and then what happens
Not unlike us.
Not unlike us. And then
I hear you.
Then,
yeah.
Then what happens is there's an organism in the soil. It's called Phytophthora, or bleeding canker, it's called. And it moves up onto the bark and starts to affect the tree, to affect the health of the tree even more. And one of the things I've learned to do is work at an eco peace treaty with this particular disease. And the way the eco peace treaty works is well, we ask the disease to leave the bark of the tree. You know, left unchecked, that disease would kill the tree. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
But what we do is we ask the disease to leave the bark of the tree, move back down to the soil. Then we say we ask the tree to feed the disease at the roots. Now, not on the roots, but at the roots. At the roots, there's a very thin layer around the roots, and that's where roots exude some nutrients and things like that from a tree, and that can feed the organism, the disease organism, down at the roots. So guess what? Now, the disease can live because it can live at the roots, and the tree can live because the disease has left the bark and moved down to the roots. And so now what you have is these two working together and in a perfect balance. And so the disease lives, the tree lives, and everybody's happy. And the people are happy too, you know, and as a matter of fact, what's going on is the tree is protecting the disease by feeding it. The disease is protecting the tree because it's not up on the bark anymore and it wants a healthy tree. And the people are protected because they get to enjoy their tree. And all they have to do is agree not to do anything to interfere with the eco-peace treaty process. You know?
Yeah, like conventional, not to use chemicals.
Yeah, conventional wisdom is to spray some wild chemicals on these trees and things like that. And it's not very effective. But we've found that eco-peace treaties are very, very effective. And we do this with diseases. We do it with invasive, so-called invasive insects that are infecting so many trees. You know, you name a tree, and it's almost like there's an insect affecting it right now. So we're able to do these eco-peace treaties between diseases and insects and having excellent results with it.
Yeah. And I gather because I know we'll hear more.
To work with mammals. His first mammal was was deer. But if I could just take a moment to pull back and clarify something about the Eco-Peace Treaty.
Oh, good. Please do.
Yeah, there's a really important point in all of our work, and in fact, it's the name of our most recent book that's out, which is called Live and Let Live. What's the subtitle?
I'll grab it for you. I'm on your website.
Multidimensional collaboration. So in that book and the brand new book that we're writing, which is essentially the second issue, it's Live and Let Live, Enlightened Stewardship is the subtitle. The thing I want to clarify has to do with a frame of thought, a mindset, or as some people call it, a paradigm. So when most of us hear Dr. Jim talk about, disease organism and the tree, and they start to picture their own role as somehow being proactive and making the disease and the tree do something, or even inviting the tree or disease to do something, you know, it's that approach is still in the old paradigm. It's what we call 17th century thinking. It's the idea that is very subtle and very it insinuates itself into our minds, whether we like it or not. In this culture, it's that we can control nature. We can, and some people take it a step further to think that they can dominate nature. And some people feel that science makes them superior to nature. Well, it's that kind of thinking that we are saying it's over. we can't live on the planet this way anymore. We need to shift our mindset and have a new paradigm or a new framework of thought. And that new thing is the idea of collaborating with nature, being a partner, being an equal partner. That's key. And feeling that we can be in communication, as Dr. Jim talked about earlier, an intuitive and sensory form of communication with these living beings. So for an eco-peace treaty, the mindset is not about what I'm going to do to make things different.
Or what I want.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
or
not
what
the
I want as a human.
Yeah, yeah, it's not the human eye. It's really turning the tables. It's what does this living being need to survive? What does it need to live? And then what does that other organism, that other living being need to survive? And when in an eco-peace treaty you begin to have that conversation with them, what occurs is each of them will say, oh, you know, I need this, but I'm willing to give that. And it becomes a very mutual agreement. Like the Phytophthora said, oh, well, I want to live, and I need certain nutrients to live, and I'm willing to give that I can leave the bark and go down to the roots. And the tree says, oh, well, I want to live, and I need healthy circulation and a healthy bark on my trunk in order to live. I'm willing to give feeding these organisms down right around but not on my roots. And so time after time, that's just one example. Our first Live and Let Live book is just full of examples of how these organisms are generous and want to coexist with one another. That's the key word there, coexist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really amazing. So the Eco-Peace Treaty is a whole new kind of soft technology that we feel people will be able to use to really turn around environmental problems.
Wow. That's fabulous, and I know that as we go further with the conversation, that you will be offering, for those people this is all fairly new to, although I know among the listeners, whether they're listening live or they're listening podcasts, so many will be at least somewhat familiar with what you do, but the idea of, let me take it down to this person, someone who got curious about this show, either live listening tonight or podcast. So at some point, whether it's now or a little later, where does that concerned Earth lover begin to plug in to this, making myself useful in the ecosystem that where I live, where my home is? So where is that entry point now that you're recommending that people can begin to make themselves available to do this connecting, this helping to heal?
Right. Well, I'm sure many people have their own ways of connecting. We offer several in our various books of ways of connecting and then communicating, learning to listen actually more than talk.
Mm.
So whatever format they want to use, really it's just a matter of going into their own backyards and starting that conversation. They could even do it with houseplants. In the house, if they're apartment dwellers, or it's wintertime or something, you can sit down and have a wonderful chat, with a ficus tree.
Or go to if they don't have any property, they can go to a state park or a piece of public land.
Yeah.
And work with a tree there. You know, there's lots of trees there that love to communicate with people.
Yeah. The first step is really the experience and opening oneself to receiving messages. There are several different kinds of messages people can get. They can get a kind of a message from a tree that says, what's going on for me? Like I'm sick, or I have compromised circulation or something like that. It's a kind of a health check-in. People can also get very personal messages. They might get an instruction of what to do for the tree or plant. They might get an instruction of what the person should do. In fact, one lovely one that a student of ours received from a tree was, please bring your children to play under me. So that's a good one. And people might also get some profound wisdom as well. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, just be open to that message. And
well, that makes you, of course, you're lovely. I love how you are the chief listener. And it's that, there you are. You're instructing us in all of that. And you mentioned kids, and it occurred to me, or children, that I would imagine, and again, because you've worked with so many people by this point in your workshops and presentations and all of that, but do you have some sense that we all, as little ones ourselves, we were definitely more conversant with all of these beautiful beings? Do you think that we're, it's not like we're developing a brand new skill. We're kind of rediscovering something we knew and could use and enjoyed, and then let it go for whatever reason.
Absolutely, Carol. It's a little bit of just going back and remembering that joy, that openness of being a child and feeling that awe and wonder. That's the thing to do.
Well, I know that people will be looking to connect with you who are among the listeners, as I say, whether they are live with us tonight or podcasts. I'm sure there's any number that have had the delight of working with you. And I wonder if you would tick off some of the opportunities coming up from now through the year that people could literally connect with you. So why don't you give us a little bit of that information so people can jot it down or go check it out on the website. So how could people get up close and personal with Dr. Jim and Basha?
Well, probably one of the best ways is to come to the Omega Institute, which is in Rhinebeck, New York. We're doing a weekend there. It's a Friday night, June 5th, Saturday, and about half of the day of June 7th. The class ends at about noon. And first of all, it's just a lovely, lovely retreat center. I can't speak highly enough about it. We've taught there for I guess about 10 years now, and it's
fabulous.
Just such a welcoming, beautiful, peaceful place. So that's probably the best way to get a concentrated exposure to the most fundamental things that we teach. We do teach some workshops as people come forward to want to host us in different places in the country. We teach a basic workshop that's a one-day workshop, and then we're starting to also now teach the diploma course.
Tell us a little bit about that. I've gotten wind of it. I've read a little bit in the emails, but do you want to give a quick outline of that? It sounds fabulous.
Well, the format we're using right now is that people do have to take the initial one-day workshop, or the Omega workshop definitely qualifies as sort of like a prerequisite. And then the format is two additional weekends. And what we do is really give people a chance to go deep. It's deep in their experience of trees and plants, and we give them some advanced skills for healing the trees and plants and ecosystems. And what happens as they go along, kind of like in parallel, is that they really evolve this higher mindset of collaboration. Or if people already feel like they're already dedicated collaborators with nature, they really get empowered with these skills. We give something called the circle diagram, and it's it's the set of tools for healing the trees, but what actually happens is people become empowered within themselves. And there's, I won't quite call it, it's not like a personal physical healing exactly, but it's like a spiritual reconnection. There gets to be like nothing in between you and that source energy. And it's very powerful for people. The diploma course no pun intended, it's not a walk in the woods, let's put it that way. There is work to do in this course. There's reading, there's writing exercises, you have to practice the circle diagram. There's an opportunity to read, there's a big reading list you can pick and choose off of. And it's also a chance to engage with what people feel is their wanted world. You know, a lot of people they listen to the news, which probably isn't a real good idea. We've given it up.
I have to agree.
And because it's so depressing and it's so easy to feel resignation. And what people get a chance to do in the diploma course is to realize that there is something they can do. They don't have to feel resigned. They can focus on a wanted world and then really go after it. And so the whole course, we call it an adventure for a lifetime, because the things people learn in the diploma course really can last them a lifetime. It's an adventure for personal expansion and for making a more sustainable world for us all.
So what people get in touch with, they not only get in touch with healing trees, Carol, they also get in touch with working with all the members of the ecosystem. And that's the cool part of it, because it's not only getting in touch with them, but it's also getting messages from them. So they get to hear messages, you know, like ecosystem says, you know, soil says, you know, it's been a cold winter, we're a little bit out of balance, we could use a little help getting reconnected again, you know? And it's about working, you know, with all the individual ecosystem members and then working with them as a group to create and get the whole ecosystem back connected again. And it's really that people are able to collaborate not just with the trees, but they're able to collaborate with all these members, including the insects, including the diseases, including the weeds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to collaborate with them and get messages from them. And they're able to work with them and heal them and balance them and do eco-peace treaties with them. And it's quite an exciting time. And it gives people a whole different outlook on sustainability and how to work with them.
What an important word. I'm just going to cut in a little bit. Go ahead, Jim. Finish up that thought, and then I'll invite some people to call in if they wish. But please, you're in the middle of a thought, I believe, statement.
Yeah, it's no longer a matter of, you know, having to read something in a book on how to do something with the beings of nature. This is going directly to the source. This is going to the beings of nature and asking them how to work with them. And getting messages from them, and that's what's really key to this work.
Mm-hmm. That is fabulous, and so much that we have fit in already in our wonderful conversation. But I will, as they say, throw open the phone lines to any of you listening to us live. I'm sure you are enjoying this as much as I am. So if you now have a question, a comment, words of praise for these two eco-pioneer, fabulous people, cutting-edge. I wrote this down as I was thinking as the program's coming. You are such cutting-edge earth advocates, but you're inviting us all to be. So listeners, please do feel quite free to join the conversation by calling 1-805-292-0349. So go ahead and buzz in, and I still think, and I could be wrong, when you call in, there's some voice that greets you, and I still think that you are advised to press 1 on your keypad. So if you're about to call in and you hear that, do after, you know, if you hear that, press 1 so I can unmute you to come on the air. So please join us with questions or comments. There we are.
That's great,
my
Carol.
Work.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, that's great.
Wow. This, well, you know, there was a time in the program I was going to ask you, and it's probably as good as any, is that, because I hear it, I know what you're going to say, and Basha, you referenced the fact that there is a lot of dismalness in the news cycle that we hear, but what I'm hearing and what I think you'll say, and it's like your general sense of hopefulness in the way things are going, would you chime in on that and expand in any way you want to around that, your hopefulness, hopefully.
Thank you. We are totally bullish on the future because we know that there is an amazing shift in consciousness going on right now on the planet. And if we don't kind of avoid surrounding ourselves with things that make us feel bad, like maybe the news, we can really access the power of feeling good and feeling positive. It's a choice, really, until it becomes a habit. And the reasons why we feel so good is that we know that this work in particular, the work of tree whispering and cooperative biobalance, are tools that people can easily use right in their own backyards that can make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And why do I say it can make a big difference? Because balance is so powerful. When you establish even a small oasis of balance, the effects of that ripple out for, we don't even know how far. It could be blocks, it could be miles, it could be around the whole planet. Even a small zone of balance is so powerful.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know,
what a great concept. I'm just, boy, prick my ears up, all of it. Jim, to you.
Yeah. Well, as Basha said, it is a hopeful outlook on things. Look, we feel like the tide is moving our way. Okay. You know, if you think about it, you know, people are getting. We've watched too, and people are becoming more and more conscious. They're looking for different things. They're looking for better ways of doing things. They're looking at ways, you know, we introduced this idea of live and let live with the beings of nature. People are saying, yeah, that's a great way to do things, you know. And even organics and those things, you know, it's a step in the right direction. And all of those growing practices like organics, biodynamics, those are all the steps in the right direction. What we have to say is, you know, we just don't want to use any products to kill any of the organisms. We're saying they can all live together. But, you know, it's just a different attitude. But we find that the tide is coming our way and that people are really starting to say, yeah, this, you know, this is a direction I want to go in. And it kind of speaks to people. Live and let live really speaks to people. They really feel that. And they really relate to it. So it's really, really nice in that direction.
Do you have people say to you, because I guess I'm making a little advocacy possibly from this end. I mean, people hear every week when I start the show, I'm speaking from Light Spring Glen, 7 acres on the edge of the Catskills, all that. But I'm guessing you do maybe get the question, well, I live in an apartment building in Lower Manhattan or something. What do you say to people who might wonder what part they can play and do I have an ecosystem? I live in a city. So what would you say to those folks?
It goes back to, yes, they can work on plants in their own, work on plants in your apartment. Work on, a lot of people have rooftop gardens and things like that. Work on those trees and plants, you know, or plants on their porch or something like that. Go out to, there's so many parks in New York, there's Central Park, there's Battery Park, there's all kinds of parks in New York. Go out and work on the trees there. Get in touch with the ecosystem there. I'll tell you what, just doing anything people will do, that's what starts it. And it starts their communication with all the living beings of nature, and it gives the living beings of nature a chance to communicate with them. But then it spreads from there, you know? It starts from there, even in a little location, and then it spreads. And before you know it, it has other people doing it. And then other people are doing it, and other people are doing it.
Well, and a perfect example of that was when we all found out that Hurricane Sandy was coming up the coast.
I was hoping this would come up. Yes, so Basha, delightful. I've had it on my list to hopefully get to. Do continue.
Yes, we had several days notice, and it was especially scary because just a year before, here in the Northeast USA, there was what we called the Halloween or October snowstorm. A very, very early snowstorm that took down a lot of trees and trees branches because they still had their leaves on. And here was Hurricane Sandy coming up also just before Halloween, that end of October. And so we said, oh, there must be something we can do. So Dr. Jim went out to work with some of the clients who were going to be in that target area of the hurricane along the Jersey shore. And I said, okay, I'm going to create some specialized whispers that people can say. Whispers are intentional messages given from the heart that save trees and empower people. And we had been teaching what we call the healing whispers in our classes, but I said, you know what, let's have the storm prep whispers. And I put them together, sent them out on email, and the hurricane hadn't even arrived yet when I started getting messages back saying, oh, I'm so grateful. I feel like there's something I actually can do. I'm not helpless. And and so that was the first best thing. And then in the days following the hurricane, we started getting messages from people, you know, emails saying, I saved my trees. So many people said, oh, you know, I looked out the next morning after giving these whispers many times in the day and the night. They said, I looked out that next morning and, gee, all I had were some twigs on my lawn. And, I guess this hurricane wasn't so bad. But then they would say that they got in the car and they drove two blocks and they saw devastation. And this was person after person would email us with this kind of message. Oh, and these whispers had gone viral. People on their list and then on their list and their list. So we started getting all these stories, and we ended up putting all these people's stories into a book called People Saving Their Trees in Hurricane Sandy. And it's amazing how the power of intention really works.
Yeah. Well, if I might, I would like to tell you, and you know, because I know you've excerpted some of my message to you, but where I was, I just want to add, you know, again, as a person who can plug into this, is that at the time of Hurricane Sandy, I was living on the Susquehanna River just outside of Binghamton, New York. I lived in a little wooded area, and it wasn't clear until I got closer how bad the winds would be. So I started out with your whispers, Basha, going out to the trees right by my little house. And as I worked with these beautiful beings, of course, I was pretty conversant with them, as it was clear that the damage, we would not suffer it there, but my trees let me know that what we were doing, that they and I together, we were sending sending protective energies, like a networking to, so we were holding some sort of a space, some sort of energetic that let the trees in those affected area know that it was just like this team coming together. I've got your back. I've got your back. It was so powerful. I've never had communications with trees quite like that. It was, it gives me goosebumps to tell you it, to share that story in the hour we're here together. It was wonderful.
Yes, and we really appreciated that. When I got your message originally, I was so grateful. And I got messages from people actually all over the world saying, yeah, we were doing our best to help out. So, you know, it could have been a lot worse. That's how I feel about it. And I think that every tree we were able to save was a triumph. And in fact, so to come full circle, one of the people who we excerpted her sharing in the book lives in Manhattan. So that's her ecosystem there. She said she went down to the park and she warned all the trees that this was coming. I think she lives sort of in lower Manhattan. And she took her daughter, and, you know, they had quite a time preparing the trees and warning them that this was coming and asking them to do things like shed their leaves and be, you know, have their roots hold strong against the winds. So so you ask, what can someone even in Manhattan do, or a big city, an apartment dweller? There you go. They can, anyone can really be helpful.
You know, Carol, I got a little story on that Hurricane Sandy.
Uh-huh.
I was out, as Basha said, I was out visiting clients as well. And it was during the, you know, just before the storm hit. And a few of them are right on the Jersey coast, okay? Right on the water, okay?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. One of them in particular, she has several huge, big trees, big old maples and a big oak. But these big old maples, and they still had all their leaves on it. And I remember I pulled into her yard. This is a pretty big state, and I pulled into her yard, and she came out, and she says, Jim, is there anything you can do about asking my trees to shed their leaves, you know, because the storm's coming?
Yeah.
And I said, well, Sheila, that's what I'm here. Her name is Sheila. I said, Sheila, that's what I'm here to do. You know, I'm here to work with your trees, you know, and for sure I will ask them to shed their leaves. So I worked with them for a while, and she came out a little bit later and said again, you know, hey, Jim, is there anything you can do to get these trees to shed their leaves, you know? And I said, well, Sheila, I'm working on it. Well, about an hour later, she came out one more time. And she's standing there with me, and she says, Jim, is there anything you can do to get these trees to shed their leaves? And all of a sudden, the trees started raining leaves down on her.
Oh, my gosh.
And they started coming down and just raining down on her. And the end of the beautiful part of the story is she did not lose one major tree on her property. Lost a pine tree, a couple small pines, but did not lose any of her big trees. And I mean, these are big, huge oaks and maples and beech trees and all kinds of trees. This woman just loves her trees, so she likes all these big trees on her property. And it's a big piece of property.
We call them three-person trees and four-person trees.
Sure.
Held their hands around them.
Yeah, she's got at least a couple of three- and four-person trees, easy. And she didn't lose one tree, and she was very, very grateful, and the trees did. By the time the storm hit, I had treated them on a Friday. The storm hit on a Monday, and by Monday, all the leaves were gone. All the leaves had fallen off the trees, and she was really very thankful.
Yes. Well, it puts me in mind about the whispers and all, because, again, I'm on your email list. And, oh, we should definitely prompt people, again, who's saying we're having people are listening raptly. No one has decided to call in, but you still have a little time, people, if you want to give us a quick call. There definitely is. Prompting you quickly, and then going back to a point I wanted to make about more whispers, 1-805-292-0349. Don't be shy if you're sitting on a lovely comment. Do call in and let us hear it. But, oh, and look at that. I induced somebody. I think I'll go to that. You know what? This seems a good point to welcome this person. And if you, in area code 315, if you got prompted to press 1, would you do so? Caller, because I think I need you to do that for me to unmute your mic. So give it a go if you're hearing me ask this. Here we go. Oh, thank you. All right, Basha and Jim, our caller is joining us now. Hello?
Hello, Basha and Carol. Michelle.
Michelle Gallant, known to Basha. Basha, do you recognize Michelle?
Yes, hello, Michelle. Good to hear your voice.
Oh, this is so interesting. And I've looked at your book. And here's my question. I'd like to just put it out there, and I'll listen offline. Is this something that anyone can be trained to do, or do you really feel like it's a special gift or ability that some people might have and other people don't have? Because it's not something, I mean, I can connect with trees and nature, but I don't feel like I've ever heard them give me a message or talk back to me. So is this something that anybody can learn?
Anyone can learn this. It has to do with just quieting yourself on the inside. You know, we do offer some meditations and processes in our books, but it's really just about quieting oneself and allowing that deep intelligence that's in nature, that's in a tree, to just gently communicate with you. Some people, everyone has their own strength in terms of their senses. So some people are visual, some people are auditory, some people are tactile. So you might get that information from the tree or plant through that key sense that you have. I'm kind of visual, so very often I'll just get imagery in my mind's eye. I'm also somewhat auditory, so I do hear messages sometimes. I'm not particularly tactile, but Dr. Jim is.
Yeah, I'm tactile, and I also hear messages as well.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, Michelle, that yes, anybody can do this. It really is. It's just a matter of tuning up that right brain intuitive channel a little bit and getting connected with these beings. And it just takes a little bit of time and a little bit of practice, and then it'll all come together. And because, once again, remember, the beings of nature, they want to communicate with us. They want to be. They want to talk to us. They want to mm-hmm. be our partners as well. And it just takes a little bit of trust to trust that we can hear their messages, and we're not, you know. And once you trust it, then you begin to hear it. See it or feel it. And then all of a sudden you get a few more messages and a few more messages and a few more messages, and then things will happen and you say, you know, this is really pretty good. This is pretty exciting. And you know what? I really am getting messages from these beings. So it's really pretty cool. But yeah, it is something. It is something that anybody can learn to do. Again, you know, it's kind of like one of those things. We actually knew how to do this when we were young, but as we grew older, you know, or as we grew out of our being childhood kind of people, said, no, you shouldn't be talking to trees, and you shouldn't be talking to the animals, and you shouldn't be talking to the beings of nature. You shouldn't be doing that.
People told us that it wasn't possible, and we made the mistake of accepting that.
Yeah, but now, you know, it's like, trust that and be and, you know, intuitively connect with those beings.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michelle did what she was said she'd do. She's listening on just online again, but I know she's heard you out, and I was so glad she might have called. Michelle and Bosch and I all enjoyed that long-ago conference at Skidmore, so that's our beautiful connection. And talk about beautiful trees, Bosch. I know you remember them, the beautiful trees of the campus of Skidmore College. So, and I'm telling you, let me give you a quick tactile. One day I was walking down to, there was a beautiful little lake down off the edge of the campus, and I have a tree communicator that I kind of always remained, but I walked by a shagbark hickory at about maybe 15 feet, and I was kind of swinging my arms, beautiful summer day, and that shagbark hickory, I could feel it reach right out and grab my hand gently and say, "Would you come over here?" I just felt it. It just grabbed my hand. Shagbark hickories talk to me the loudest of any tree. How do you like that?
Oh, that's great.
Oh, well, for me, it's the oaks. For me, I don't see, again, don't feel it quite as in a set, that much of a sensory way, but they'll mm-hmm. catch my attention and say, "Hey, come on over here." And or suddenly my head will just swing around and I'll see a particular tree. It's almost as if that tree has come forward, or it like it's shining or got bigger or something, and that one captures my attention. And when that kind of thing happens, then I try to pay attention to it.
There you go.
Go
ahead, Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a similar experience. You know, it's certain trees talk to you, and beech trees talk to me. They just, it's almost like they call me on the phone and say, "I need some help." And, you swear it's the tree calling you and asking you for help. And but also the trees, you just never know. You know, sometimes when I'm out working on a large piece of property, I'll say, you know, ours is a permission-based system. So I'll see a tree and I'll think this one needs to be treated, so I'll ask permission to treat. And it'll say, "No, not me, but that guy over there, that other guy over there, he needs some help. So go over here and help that guy." So I'll go over to that other tree, and, you know, I'll kind of figure out which one the tree is kind of telling me. And so I'll go over to the other tree, and I'll ask permission to treat. And it says, "Yeah, I can use a little help. You know, I'm having a little trouble here. I'm having a little trouble there." And so it works out really good. The other thing I've really begun to do is start to work with bees. And bees are very important.
Oh, my goodness. People are very concerned about them. So I'm so glad they came up in our conversation. And I just want to say a quick thank you to Michelle for bringing up, I think, a question that's I'm sure you get it. So, Michelle, thanks so much for calling in with that question. To the bees.
Thank you, Michelle. Yeah, appreciate it. But I'll tell you a little bit about the bees. You know, the bees, the bees are in trouble. They're in a lot of trouble. And I think part of it is, Carol, is not so much, yes, there's some human interference. You know, there's some insecticides we're using which aren't very good for bees, okay? I know about that. And there's other human forms of human interference. I think we do some things to beehives maybe we shouldn't be doing. Okay, I think we over-harvest out of the beehive. So I think there's some things like that. But to me, the whole basis goes back to the whole ecosystem and having the whole ecosystem back connected again. And if we get that whole ecosystem back connected again, all the beings of nature all back connected again, communicating, that supports the bees, okay? That whole thing supports the bees. And then the bees can support that whole ecosystem. You know, we call it the whole emergent ecosystem, where the sum is the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And the bees can support that whole emergent ecosystem, and the whole emergent ecosystem can support the bees. And what it is, the ecosystem has become weak, the bees have become weak, and therefore then you get in things like the mite that's attacking bees, you get in you get in all kinds of other things that begin to happen. So while I
right.
think it's partially human interference, you know, with, like I said, with the insecticides, it's also, you know, it's also that the ecosystem is not connected. And it's very important
yeah.
to get that back connected again so that can support the bees and the bees can support it.
If I could add something about that whole idea of connection.
Oh, please. Please do.
Trees naturally operate in community. Now, we've heard that it's because the roots touch. Well, that's true, and there is more to it than that. Trees and human beings, all living beings, produce bioenergy fields. It's from people, our strongest bioenergy field is glows and emanates from the heart. And trees don't have hearts. You might say they are hearts because their whole structure is involved with circulation of their fluids. So both we and they and all living beings produce bioenergy fields. Well, the important thing about that then is that trees connect in community through their bioenergy fields. So trees could even be like across the road from one another, and they could still be in community. So one trunk is not just a tree to the tree. A tree for the tree, from coming from its point of view, is the whole community, because they all interact in such a deep and intimate way through their bioenergy. Well, with ecosystems, all living beings have this kind of connection, but when there is human interference or some sort of climate problem or some extreme in the climate that occurs, that can separate the individuals. It can make the community fall apart. So that's what Dr. Jim is talking about, by getting everybody connected up. And
yeah.
So along those lines, I want to talk about emergence. So this is a relatively new concept in science, but it's sort of one of those things that's so obvious that it's like, oh, why didn't we really think of this earlier? And I'll give you a mechanistic example first, because it's kind of the easiest to understand, even though I don't like a mechanistic example, but
mm-hmm.
if you have this whole pile of little metal bits and gears and little things, and let's say somebody assembles all those little metal bits, and lo and behold, they assemble it into a thing that we call a clock. Now, that is something new, and it does something that was not predicted by all those metal bits and gears and pieces. It tells time. So when something emerges, it becomes something entirely new that wasn't predicted from the parts. It is literally greater than the sum of the parts. And that's what we feel occurs in ecosystems. So there is a being out there that we call a whole emergent ecosystem. When you go in your backyard, that when all the parts can assemble, something new that's greater emerges. And for lack of a better word right now, the best we can call it is a whole emergent ecosystem.
Mm.
And it is a new kind of being that then operates in a more effective, efficient, and balanced way. I was talking about balance earlier. And
mm-hmm.
that emergent ecosystem then, that condition of being connected can then spread to other ecosystems. And that's
mm-hmm.
Very fundamental in our work, that we encourage that to happen in our work.
Mm-hmm. And this is, I believe I've been hearing you say, this is the direction, the new direction, well, it's the direction that you are moving with your work. And is this then, let's talk just a quick bit about the new book that's coming out. Do you want to give that a little bit of a spin and a plug so people can know about this? Because I'm thinking there's...
Sure, we'd love to. It's called Live and Let Live, Enlightened Stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea in this book is taking the leap to a higher kind of thinking, a higher paradigm, a kind of thinking based on the philosophy of live and let live, based on the idea that we can collaborate with the living beings of nature. So that's really the most fundamental thing about it. And we also update some of the things in the first book, too. We update some of Dr. Jim's latest research into the Eco-Peace Treaties, and a very important new direction he's going in, and that's working multidimensionally.
And
it's kind of
exciting, because what we're finding all the beings of nature, they are multidimensional, all right?
Yeah.
And in order to really heal them, it's not good enough to just work in the physical with them. We really need to work in the multidimensional aspects of them and heal those multidimensions that are hurt or sick or not operating correctly. And once we heal that, then what can happen is that the treatment is done in a multidimensional space, and what happens then is what comes into the physical or precipitates in the physical is not the treatment, but the goals of the being. For example, the tree, it wants to be healthy, strong, and it wants to grow. Well, we're doing this treatment for the tree to help it be healthy, strong, and want to grow. But we have to do that in a multidimensional space, and then what precipitates into the physical is the goals, which are a healthy, strong, and a tree that's growing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and what strikes me right as I'm listening to you here is that how somehow or other it's just like a big, I don't know, banner or something that says, well, of course, and it's that we are in the ecosystem with that being. And so it's again, back and forth really from the beginning of the show, how it is that we support one another in this, you know, all sentient beings or maybe even the ones that are less sentient but that still have a communication with us. And to me, that seems one of the most beautiful, hopeful things to know that you, in doing the work you're doing, I know we'll need to kind of begin to wrap this up for ourselves in this beautiful conversation, but it's just beautiful and hopeful, and I just am enthralled and delighted.
Well, thank you so much.
Go ahead, Basha, sorry.
We feel that when people understand and hear that they can do simple things that can make a difference, it will definitely attract them to this work. And it's the kind of thing, tree whispering and what we call cooperative biobalance, it opens up their spirituality, and they can feel closer to not just nature but their own deepest selves, because face it, we human beings, we are part of nature. So it's all very connected and life-changing for people. It really validates what has gone on for many people in their childhood, and they feel reconnected to that childhood. People feel empowered, and they feel that this new way of thinking, that's part of this global shift of consciousness, that they're really a part of it, and that the future, you know. When they're aligned with that, the future really is excellent.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Jim, is there a point or two that you would like to leave us with? And there's so much delight and richness here. I look forward to your return at some point to report in what you've been up to, et cetera. But is there something here that you've been wanting to share? And this is your time. I invite you to do so.
I would just, the thing I would share with people is this, you know, yeah, we have books and we have methods to teach people how to do this work. But you know what? Just go out and touch a tree. Just go out and feel the tree. You know, touch a tree, feel a tree, love the tree, heal the tree. You know, I mean, just go out and be with the trees, be with the plants, be with the beings of nature. And the other thing I'd say to people is really take a look at this live and let live, because this is really a new paradigm. It's about working with these beings of nature and having everything back connected again. And it's not about killing. It makes killing obsolete is what it makes. And I've worked with deer. I'm working with invasive insects, having some fantastic results doing these eco peace treaties. And you know, this is something that anybody can really learn to do. It takes a little bit of time and yes, a little bit of practice, but you know, go out, make a start at it, just put your hands on a tree and feel the energy of the tree. And that would be what I'd say to start.
That's great. Well said. Well said.
That I think is a wonderful point on which to end this your debut on Voices of the Earth. And I will say, while you're on the air to hear it, you two embody for me what this show, what came to me to offer this on Blog Talk Radio. It's Voices of the Earth, and we have been listening to your beautiful voices of the earth through this hour and a little more. And I I love you both. I know you know that.
And we love
thank
you, too,
you.
Carol.
Thank you for coming, sharing all that you have done. Listeners, it's been, and regardless of whether live or podcast, I know there's so much that they have learned. So with that, I wish you, and of course, here we are, a week or so from Earth Day, and if people have not trotted outside, and all of us in North America have been cooped up a long time, get out there, and those trees and all those beautiful beings are waiting. Jim and Basha, so honored to have had you here tonight. I look forward to your return.
Thank you so much for having us, Carol. We've had a great time, too.
Thank you, Carol. This has been a very enjoyable conversation, and we let you know how much we appreciate it. And I appreciate all the work you're doing bringing your work and bringing our work and bringing all of our work collectively.
Bringing this awareness out
to people. So it's really beautiful. So thank you for all you're doing.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so very much for that wonderful expression as you've done. So with that, I will say good night, happy Earth Day, happy spring. Look forward to seeing you sometime in the next months ahead. So with that, bye for
Take
now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carol.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. Well, we have, thankfully, to Blog Talk Radio and the Art of Living Well, I've made use of what are 90 minutes each week to bring you programs, Voices of the Earth. And I'm going to end with this quote, which is really what spurred me to come to do this program. And it echoes much of what you've heard tonight. It's Wendell Berry, a beautiful, beautiful man, beautiful earth lover, all of that, who says this, that the care of the earth is our most ancient and most worthy and, after all, our most pleasing responsibility. To cherish what remains of it and to foster its renewal is our only legitimate hope. People like Basha and Jim, with what they do, their enthusiasm, their passion, offering it to all of you. Do check out their website. They've got a couple. You can start through cooperativebiobalance.org. There is a Facebook page. Just search up the Cooperative Biobalance. They'll be at Omega. There's so much beautiful work, and it is all available to each and all of us. But you were listening to us tonight, tuning in. Your hearts are aligned with the same thing. Nature is opening up wonderfully for us once again. Even though winter has its time and course, it's kind of nice that it's now behind us. So with that, I will be on a two-week going away, spending some time by the ocean, getting together with friends, returning on May 8th. with wonderful people who are doing amazing and wonderful things with education and new paradigm around community schools. So I look forward to welcoming Tracy Manning and Teresa Heary to the show on May 8th to talk about this and their passion for education and what they're doing in the realm of this. So with that, thank you so much again to Dr. Jim and Basha for all that they shared tonight with us. Thank you, listeners, especially first-time listeners. Check out the shows that are there in the archive page, and do tune in again. It would be a delight to have you in the audience, live or by podcast. I wish you a wonderful couple of weeks while I take this trip of mine. Do take care, everyone. It is splendidly extraordinary to have this connection with all of you and with one another. So with it, I bid you a good night. Take good care. Namaste.
You've been listening to the Art of Living Well Radio Network, a subsidiary of Crowning Light Productions. For more information on all of our programs, go to our website, theartoflivingwell.tv. This is Gene Bogart saying thanks for listening to the Art of Living Well Radio Network. Radio to inspire enlightened living.